Bibles. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, I'll read it from the New International Version. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. May the Lord bless us as we turn to his holy word for what we need in life. Every once in a while, when I've got the sermon all worked out and know how I'm going to start it, I hear a story that just makes me rewrite it right before I come and bring it. And yesterday, that exact same thing happened. Jack and Shirley and Jan all have heard this story, but it just struck me, and it fits really well with what we're talking about. Stan Ott shared this yesterday, and it turns out that it's really true. It's not one of those stories somebody made up. Some FBI agents were conducting a raid on Southwood Psychiatric Hospital in San Diego, and because they were under investigation for insurance fraud. And so he had 60 FBI agents going through papers and checking things out, and come around noon, they're nowhere near done and they're getting hungry. So the head agent decides he's going to get into the phone book, find a pizza parlor close by that delivers, and order some pizza. And they were recording the conversations of anybody calling in, that could possibly be evidence in their investigation. So this is the telephone conversation verbatim as the FBI recorded it. The agent said, "Hello, I would like to order 19 large pizzas and 67 cans of soda." The pizza man said, "And where would you like them delivered?" "We're over at the psychiatric hospital." "The psychiatric hospital?" "That's right, I'm an FBI agent." "You're an FBI agent?" "That's correct, just about everybody here is." "And you're at the psychiatric hospital?" "That's correct, and make sure you don't go through the front doors, we have them locked. You'll have to go around to the back to the service entrance to deliver the pizzas." "And you say you're all FBI agents?" "That's right. How soon can you have them here?" "And everyone in the psychiatric hospital is an FBI agent?" "That's right. We've been here all day and we're starving." "How are you going to pay for all of this?" "I have my checkbook right here." "And you're all FBI agents?" "That's right. Everyone here is an FBI agent. Can you remember to bring the pizzas and sodas to the service entrance in the rear? We have the front doors locked." Pizza man replied, "I don't think so." Click. You know, what did the FBI agents say that wasn't true? It was absolutely true. They were FBI agents, and everybody there was an FBI agent because they kicked out all the staff so they could do their investigation. But yet, they were not believed. Jesus told his disciples a parable that would illustrate the need to pray and to continue to pray, even if we don't seem to be getting any answers. And at a time when we might get discouraged and might give up and might think that God doesn't care about us. And that's the verse that I read now is the introduction to that, leading us into that parable. And you don't have to be a Christian for very long to realize that God, while he answers prayer, does it in his own way and in his own time. And sometimes he says no. And that can be very discouraging for us as Christians. And Jesus told this parable to his disciples so they would learn how to pray and not give up. And that's something we really need today. So let's dig in here and look at what Jesus says to us. We'll go back to our text again, verse 1 of chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. This time we're told the reason for the parable up front. Usually you have to read one of these parables clear through to the end before Jesus makes the point that he wants to make out of it. But Luke has told us right up front what the point is. He says that we're supposed to pray and not get discouraged, not give up. That word "give up" is translated in the King James Version as faint. And what it means literally is to be filled with bad thoughts. In other words, to be discouraged, to think, "Oh, God's not listening. I might as well just give up. There's no point in praying. There's nothing good to come out of it." So Jesus told them this story to teach them a lesson about persistent prayer. We pick it up in verse 2 and go through verse 5. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.'" First, we need to understand what the courts were like in that day. God saw to it that there were courts and justice means of justice from the very earliest days in Israel. In larger towns, there would be a judge who would be stationed there permanently. Smaller towns were served by judges who went around on a circuit and would sometimes take a tent with them and set that tent up as the courtroom. Kind of like the days of the Old West when you watch some of those Old West movies and the circuit court judge comes in on the stagecoach and they hold the trial in the saloon because they don't have anywhere else to hold the trial. An assistant would meet the people as they came, take down their names and their complaints, and set up something looking like a docket for the judge to deal with in order of the day. Now, it was an all too common practice at that time for that assistant to kind of hold his hand out by the side there and solicit a bribe from the people who were coming with the very strong implication that if you don't grease the palms of justice, you're not going to get any. A big fat bribe would dispose the judge to grant what you want. And if you don't give any bribe, you're not going to see the judge. You just won't get on the docket. You will not get in there to see him. This is very much against what God had intended when he and what he expected of Israel's judges. Deuteronomy 16:18-20 says, "Appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Follow justice and justice alone so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving you." And God also made it clear that the weak and the vulnerable were not to be taken advantage of just because they were weak and vulnerable. Deuteronomy 24:17. "Do not deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this." It really steamed God when widows and orphans and poor people and aliens, those kind of people were abused because they were powerless. God cares for the powerless in our world. This judge, though, ignored all of this. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about what anybody thought. He just saw the law as a means for personal gain, and that justice was a commodity that you would sell on the open market for whatever the market would bear, whatever price you could get for it. Now, this widow obviously had no money. The vast majority of widows in that day didn't. The working people of that day, we've seen, had a day-to-day existence. Very little opportunity to save anything and get ahead and be prepared for a disaster like this. Instead, God commanded his people to be generous toward the widows and the orphans, to give freely to their needs and to help them along. This widow obviously couldn't afford to bribe the judge in this case to get her justice. So whoever was causing her trouble, whoever was trying to take what little she had, was not going to be stopped. It was going to continue unimpeded. She had just one chance. She kept returning to the court each and every day, yelling out for the judge to grant her justice. And the judge, even though he was inside the courthouse, he could hear her yelling. Day after day this happened. The people outside were hearing what she was saying as well. And after a while, the judge said, "I've had enough of this. She's driving me nuts. What do I have to do to get her to shut up?" Obviously, the only thing he could do to get her to shut up was to give her the justice that she wanted. And so he did it. It's kind of like Bill Cosby describing a football game he was playing in high school where a huge lineman was lumbering toward him. And he just froze and he thought to himself, "What do I have that he wants?" And he looked down in his arms and he saw he had the football and he realized that's what he wanted and he gave him the football. If the judge would give this woman what she wanted, she'd go away finally. And that's exactly what happened. The woman got her justice, not because the judge cared about what was right, not because the judge was a decent, upright man, but because she drove him crazy with her constant asking. And Jesus draws this point out of it from verses 6 through the first part of verse 8. "And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly." There's the point Jesus is making. If persistence will cause an evil, unjust judge to do what is right, don't you think that you're loving Heavenly Father will take care of his children? If persistence caused him to do what was right even if he didn't want to, how much more will your Father in heaven who wants to bless you, bless you. Yes, Jesus says he will take care of his children. Then he finishes out verse 8 with this, though. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I think this is one of the most, if not the most, haunting verse in the whole Bible. I get chills whenever I read that. God's going to do his part. God is going to be faithful. But what's he going to find when he comes back here? Is he going to find us faithful? Is he going to find us believing and continuing in prayer and trusting in him and serving him, even when we have hard times? Is he going to find anyone here who's kept on praying without getting discouraged? I think in my own life, and I wonder, is he going to find me with faith when he comes? And all that tugs at my heart whenever I read this. Now, we have a hard time hanging in there with prayer when we don't see the results, don't we? We get discouraged, we assume God doesn't love us or doesn't care, but stop and think. What did Jesus teach us to call God? He told us to call him your Father in heaven, your Heavenly Father. Do you as parents sometimes find it necessary to say no to your children? Of course you do. Often what children ask for is not good for them, not going to help them. In the end will be harmful to them, could be harmful very quickly to them. No, you can't have a cookie before supper. You won't eat the good food that will help you to grow up. No, you can't ride your bicycle out in the interstate. There's a reason for that. The reason you tell your children those things. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "Prayer is request. The essence of a request, as distinct from a demand, is that it may or may not be granted. And if an infinitely wise being listens to the requests of finite and foolish creatures, of course he will sometimes grant them and sometimes refuse them." Ruth Bell Graham, Billy Graham's wife, who passed away here lately, said this, "If God answered every prayer of mine, I would have married the wrong man 7 times. And I think if we all look at our lives, we can agree with Garth Brooks in his song, "I Thank God for Unanswered Prayer." There are times that if God gave us what we wanted, it would not have been good. And I can think of times in my life where God did give me what I want, and it wasn't good. There's a big contrast here between your Father in heaven and this wicked, unjust judge. Let's look at these contrasts. The woman was a stranger to the judge. The judge didn't know her. The judge didn't care to know her. But who are we? We're God's children. This woman had no access to the judge. She was barred from his presence. She was kept outside. But we, as God's children, have open access to him anytime. We can come to him anytime, any place, and call out to him. This woman had no friend to help her get her case before the court. That assistant always blocked her. All she could do was make a nuisance of herself. But when we pray, we have an advocate before our Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. He constantly represents us before the Father. This woman came to a court of law, the rules spelled out very precisely, and punishments dealt out because of it. But when we approach God, we come to a throne of grace and mercy. As the author of Hebrews says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy in our time of need." This woman pleaded out of her poverty. She had no choice because she had nothing. What do we have, though, as God's children? We have incredible riches. We have so many things because God has blessed us so mightily. So we're in a very different situation than what this woman was in, aren't we? When we pray, we're not praying to a judge who doesn't care a thing about us, who expects us to pay him before he does anything for us. We're coming to a God who loves us and cares about us. And if he delays in answering our prayers and giving us what we've asked for, then he's got a reason. And if this good God has a reason, it has to be a good reason. God is doing something that we can't understand, that we may never understand in this life. It's very possible we could get to the end of our lives and not know what God was doing, and only afterwards in heaven say, now I see what you were doing all these years, Lord. It makes perfect sense. Do we do our part? Do we hang in there and persist in prayer? Jesus told this parable to encourage his disciples, to encourage us, that we would not give up when we don't get our answer. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount to ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened. It's interesting, the tense of the Greek there has a sense of keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Don't just ask once, constantly ask. Don't just seek a little while and then quit. Seek your whole life. Don't quit knocking. Keep on knocking until the door is opened. You've heard me talk before about George Mueller, one of the great Christians in history. He was a German who did his ministry in England, and he had a fabulous ministry among orphans. He had determined at a young age that he would never ask any human being for anything, that if he had a need, he would just go to God. And God miraculously provided him with millions and millions of dollars to found orphanages all over England. And he was a great man of prayer. He had friends, a circle of friends that he ran around with before he came to Christ. And after he knew Jesus, he wanted them to know Jesus too. And so he started praying for them. Within a few weeks, the first one became a Christian. And within a year, another one became a Christian. He got down to the end of his life. There was one man who had yet to trust in Christ, and he said this: "The great point is never to give up until the answer comes. I have been praying for 63 years and 8 months for one man's conversion. He is not saved yet, but he will be. How can it be otherwise? I am praying." George Mueller died soon after that, and the man was still not saved. But he came to his funeral, and it was as they were lowering Mueller's casket into the ground that the Spirit spoke to his heart. And he repented of his sins and trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. George Mueller didn't live to see it, but certainly his prayer was answered. His persistent prayer, 63 years, 8 months. That's an incentive for us not to give up, not to lose heart, not to be discouraged, not to have our heads filled with bad thoughts. Keep on praying, keep on trusting, and see what God is going to do. Let's pray. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, how we thank you so very much for your many blessings to us. And we thank you for how you work in our lives through prayer. First, we thank you for the miracle, from our perspective, that you even care about us, that you want to hear from us. Yet you tell us so clearly in your word that you care about even the smallest details of our life, and you want us to come to you and bring them all in prayer. Help us, Lord, to trust in you to work in the right way in our lives, to do what is best, not always what we ask for, but what will glorify you and benefit us and benefit others. Help us to be patient when our prayers aren't answered right away. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.